Well, good morning. Got some bad news that Satan is alive and well, and he has done everything he possibly could to keep me from speaking here this week. If it wasn't bad enough, as soon as I found out that I was asked to do this, the nerves started coming on, and then this week I got a cold. Absolutely miserable Wednesday and Thursday. My voice started to go Friday, but I'm here to tell you that through prayer in the Holy Spirit, I'm here, I got a voice, and I believe that's what it's all about, and I believe that this is a message that may need to be heard. First off, I'd like to apologize to some of my coworkers. I've asked them to come today, and at times, I behave in not too much a Christian manner, and for that, I'm sorry that you're able to see me in that way. I'd also ask that when you see me act up like that again, that you would pull me back and you would hold me accountable. Because see, when I come here, this is where I get charged up again and be able to go through another week. I'm a sinner just like you. So with all that said, you've probably got some questions. Now, the first question you probably got is, what in the wide world of Christianity were they thinking when they asked me to come up and give the message? Nobody was more surprised than I was. Now, once I realized that they were serious and that it wasn't just some kind of sick, twisted joke on me, I asked them, for what? What do you want me to say? And they said, well, it's missions month, and we want you to talk about the missions. We want you to come up here and share your thoughts and your feelings about missions. Okay, now I went to kindergarten, and I know how to share. But sharing my feelings, that's pretty much like that man hugging. It's just not catching on with me real well. So we got past that, and we said, okay, how about you just come up and you just tell them about missions and what it means to you and your experiences? Well, this is pretty much a blue-collar congregation. So all week long, we've got people telling us what to do and how to do it. So the last thing anybody wants to do is come here on Sunday and listen to me tell them what to do. So we're not doing so good. So then they said, we want somebody like you in our congregation to tell your experiences and your thoughts about missions, because in you we see a passion for missions. Now, I've been on 5 mission trips already, and I'm planning on going another one in Haiti in February. So, okay, I can buy that. I do have a passion for missions. Never would have dreamed it before I went on that first one. So, I'm going to give you my thoughts. So now we've got an idea of what I'm going to talk about. Now you got to come up with some kind of little catchy message phrase. Well, that's pretty simple. Go one time. That's simple enough. That's all I want. Go one time. So, now we've got all this figured out, it's time to get into the meat of things. So when you think of a missionary, what do you look like? What do you think? I get the picture of a missionary being this old gray-haired guy, maybe with a little bald spot in the back, and he's got this brown robe on. He's got a white belt tied on. He's kind of walking around. Well, okay, that could be a missionary too. But we've got some photos here of some missionaries that are today that I'm more associated with. And these people are in front of you, they're next to you, they're behind you. Here we've got Alan Burke. Interesting story about this young man from Haiti in the middle here. And then we've got Randy Carroll from Mount Carmel Church of Christ. Here we've got Todd Shaw. Now it's true, most of our short-term mission trips are working missions. But we've also got time to interact with the people. And you know that if there's young people, Kenny Boatwright's going to be right there in the middle of them. Here we've got Frank Henniger. Now, Frank, I think he's going to Bright Christian Church right now, which is great. We got people from Northeastwood and Mount Carmel and Bright, and we just love to have all kinds of different people from different churches come and join together and do God's work in different places. Here's Frank. Frank never was much of a worker. Here he is telling a guy down there how to do the job. And then we've got time to fellowship with the missionaries and their families. And we've also got time to converse with one another. Because let's be honest with you, most of the time we only spend about an hour in worship with somebody sitting next to you, and it doesn't really give you a good chance to know who they are. Here we are with Mika and his family, and that's Brother Walt Rolfus there, and Joby over there. I don't know, that's some kind of signal to go, or I don't know what they're passing on there. But the problem with when we meet, they prepare a feast. And quite honestly, they give us more protein and meat and stuff in the week that we're down there than most Haitians see all year long. But they're so thrilled that we're down there, they want to give everything they can to try to please us. And it's very uncomfortable to know that we're sitting there eating, and we're eating very, very little compared to what we normally eat here. And this is way more than they get. Here we are. This is Todd Shaw, Mika Prophet. That's that new guy, Mark Nakoff, without the beard, and Alan Burke. Now, to Mika and Salonika and the rest of the people in Haiti, that is not just a vacant lot. That represents a Bible college. That's the vision that these men have in that country. They took us there, and they showed us. This is where our Bible college is going to be. My hope and prayer is that someday somebody in this group will be able to go there and see that dream fulfilled. We also have the opportunity to preach. We teach Bible, vacation Bible school, or sing songs or communicate, but most of the time it's work-related. Whatever your gift is, it can be used. Now, I'd like to show you more pictures of everybody that's ever gone on a mission trip, but it's kind of hard. It'd be a lot of pictures and a lot of pictures. So what I've done is I've comprised this thing. I forget what you call it. It's like a collage, you know, with all the images of people in there. And the neat thing about this is that there's some images in there of people who have yet to go on a mission. But I'm not going to open it up right now, because otherwise everybody would just be looking at it and seeing if they recognize somebody, or if they were in there or something, then it'd be a distraction. So we'll just come back to that in a bit. Right now I'd like to ask Mark Andrzejewski to come up. He's been a brother that's gone on a couple mission trips now, and one. I'm optimistic. But I'd like him to come up and share some of his testimony on an experience that he had.
Morning. Missions. I've been interested in mission trips for quite a few years. It wasn't until I started attending here a few years ago that I really got the opportunity to be more involved with mission trips. It was a couple years back with Haiti trip where I really started to get that interest more, where I had some here starting to push me toward that. As Terry is kind of saying, you know, getting people interested in going. But at that time, I had some concerns and some doubts about going. There's some things that held me back. Again, I wasn't a member here yet. I had concerns about fitting in. Concerns about finances, travel. I hated to fly. That was one of my biggest things. So I didn't feel comfortable yet going on a trip. So I just decided, I'm not ready yet. So I gave it some more time until this past winter when it came to the Nicaragua trip. By then, I was feeling more comfortable. I had become a member here of Miami Town. And by then, I felt I was ready, and I said, I need to do this. And by then, again, like with Terry and Joby and others, just kept, getting at me about it, said, you need to do this. Just tell me you need to go. Just, you'll enjoy it. You just need to do it. So, and again, I just felt, okay, it's time. So I, with their motivation and such, I did it. I went ahead and went to Nicaragua. And what I learned from this trip to Nicaragua, it was a wonderful experience for me. I learned a lot with my faith and trust in God. There was a lot of that. I mean, this with finances, learning to put my trust in God with finances, learning that God will provide. If it's meant to happen, it will happen. With fitting in, I felt completely comfortable and welcomed by everybody on the trip. And with the travel, we've talked, you know, like with safety and with customs and getting through with all that, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. And flying, actually, I rather enjoy it now. So I got over that. I mean, after a week of physical labor like it was, if you can fall asleep on the plane then, it was nothing. Had no problem with it by then. Most of all, a part that I didn't see that is kind of hard to explain was how you see how God works in ways that we often don't see. That he has these other plans for us that you don't know. So I go down there, looking to do this physical work, but then you see he has this other plan for you. You end up doing this spiritual work too. As in the case with a young man from the churches down there that came to me for some spiritual guidance. Totally did not expect that. And that's just, again, one of those amazing things about how God works in his ways, like he has his plans for you that you don't expect. That I found that just completely, you know, just amazing, just wonderful. So, you know, if anybody, you know, as we're talking about, if you're interested in going, just, you know, go ahead and do it. Give it a try. You may find it's not for you. Doesn't hurt. You know, just go for it. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you got, huh? I was kind of hoping for a little bit more from you. We're supposed to be up here for like 45 minutes, according to Dusty. All right, I'd like to talk about another fellow that has gone with us on a trip. He's probably the biggest redneck we got here at Miami Town. It's okay. If you're a redneck, you're allowed to call him a redneck. His name is Al Schumann. I'd love to have Al come up here and talk to you about his experience. Al's a stereotypical construction worker, drives a big four-wheel drive pickup truck, has a four-wheeler, you know, hunts deer and all that woo-woo-woo stuff. But like Mark, he has a passion for missions. He has a passion to serve the Lord, our God. And when you see him down in Haiti, and when Salonique asked for him to pray at the meal, he didn't hesitate a bit. And he said the most beautiful prayer there ever was. Any one of us would ask out his prayer? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. But you can't deny Salonique. When he says something, you just say, okay, okay. So I want you to get with Al on a one-to-one and get to talk to him and get him to open up and share his experiences, because that's the only way he's going to do it. He is never going to come up here. The second guy I'd like to tell you about is an older guy. He's about 80 years old. He's not here, so I won't mention his name. But back in Jamaica, they had a hurricane that come through, and they knocked over some buildings, and there was a short-term mission for us to go down and rebuild some structures. So this guy decides that he's a pretty handy carpenter. He's going to go with us. 80 years old. Like I said, most of these trips are physical working trips. So we go, we fly, we land in Miami, and like the airlines, you come in like gate 2, And the next flight is in 10 minutes, and it's at 87B. You've got like 2 miles across the tarmac, up some stairs, and everywhere else to get there. So here we are, running through the airport. We're all packing kind of light because we shipped everything, you know, through. Well, Bo's got this bag with him. Okay, so I won't mention his last name. And he's walking through the airport, and he's going like this, and he's keeping up with us. He's doing fine. He's keeping up. Well, we're still going. We're still going. A couple guys notice, hey, Bo, you want us to help you with that bag? I got it. I got it. He's just kind of hobbling along, and he's keeping up. He's keeping up. Bo, you sure you don't want us to help you? I mean, we still got a ways. I'm all right. I got it. A little stubborn. He keeps going. He keeps going. We're about a mile into this trip, and I look over, and I said, Bo, you want me to take that bag? And he says, yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. He hands me this bag. This bag weighs 60 pounds. I said, Bo, they've got their own cement down there. You didn't need to bring your own. But what he had in this bag was all his tools and things that he thought he needed to accomplish the mission that we were going on. Okay, so now hold that thought. Now imagine this shed that you have in your backyard, and it's been back there for like 30 years. Roof's starting to cave in a little bit. The sides are kind of warping. The door's done falling off. The hinges, it's just kind of propped up there. It's in real despair. Now a hurricane comes and lays that thing over on its side. Now imagine you're living in it. That's your house. That's what this man was in Jamaica that we were working on his house. Now imagine this 80-year-old man who nobody knows what kind of gift he can be used for is in there building this house and trimming it out. And he has taken all of the crafts and skills that he has learned over the years, and he is not going to stop on this house until it is as good as he can possibly make it. He put so much pride and effort, all those tools and stuff that he brought and that knowledge. Yeah, God had a purpose for him. Now, I see you women starting to squirm out there. I'm talking about men all day. Ain't mentioned no women in missions. We've got some fantastic women in the mission field. And women most definitely can serve in the mission field. And we've got couples in the mission field. Whether you've been married for 30 years or for 30 days, there's a place in the mission field for you. Now, kids. We've got a group of kids on a mission right now in Grundy, Virginia. And kids is probably not the right term to use. Probably a better term would be young people. See, because in your bulletin, there's a little two-sided page of some comments that my two daughters wrote. Hey, don't be looking at it now. Wait until later. You can read it. You're supposed to be paying attention up here. You read that insert, and you tell me if you don't think that these kids get it. They know what they're doing. They know that they're going and doing God's work and that they're serving and helping their brothers and sisters. So to call them kids is not really what you need to call them. Young people would probably be a much better term. So that brings us up to the question of why go? For some, it may be that they're kind of coerced into going. That's all right. God can use them. For some, it may be that you've got a comfortable job and a good livelihood, but you've just got an emptiness in your life existence. And you feel like you want to do some more, so you'll go on a mission trip. God can use you. Maybe you've got a craft or a skill, like you're a carpenter or an electrician, a stonemason, a computer programmer. Yeah, God can use you in the mission field too, no matter whatever your gift and your talent is. Which brings me up to a point. I would love to have a picture of this, but since the guy I'm going to talk about critiqued all the pictures that are on the PowerPoint, I didn't want him to know that I was going to talk about him. So I'll give you a little picture. There's this hole. It's about 20 by 20, and it is 8 feet deep, and it is right next to this building. First day in country down in Nicaragua, everybody sees this hole. Now, this isn't the United States where you got to have a snow fence up and flashing lights that say hole. This is common sense. There's a hole. Don't step in it. Brings me to the point of this man I'm going to throw under the bus. he falls in the hole. Now, I just got done telling you that all your gifts and your talents, God can use you. Quite honestly, we couldn't use a guy that can't stay out of a hole 20 by 20. So we put him on a plane and we sent him back to the States. Now, he made up some kind of story about his son being sick, and that's why he had to leave. But I'm just here to tell you another version that the guys that were there, you know, that's what we knew. Thank you, Joby. So now, we'd like to think that we go because it's one of God's commands. It is a command of God's that we go. It says so in the scripture. That book right there, just read it yourself. It was written for you and me. It's also called the Great Commission, and you can find it in Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get much simpler than that. Now, God has an interesting way of turning things inside out and twisting them around and make them the way he wants it to be, not what we want. So now, if you go on a mission and you obey the command, I guarantee you that God will reward you tenfold. Here's some pictures now of some of the rewards that you might experience on a mission trip. This is a sunset in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's in Haiti. Now, if you've traveled around to Jamaica, Cancun, the northern part of Jamaica, Cancun, wherever, California, and you've seen sunsets, you can put that sunset up against any sunset you've seen in the world, and it's just as absolutely beautiful as that one. Here's an interesting one. This is Brother Walt carrying some beds. When we were down in Haiti, we come to find out that there was a family down there whose children were sleeping on the floor. They didn't have any bedding. Now, we didn't have a whole lot of finances amongst ourselves, and the only way I can explain it is God intervened. We gathered up the money that we had, and it was more than enough to buy these beds for these kids. Now, imagine the excitement and the joy that these parents and these children had when we presented them with these beds. Like I said, this is Dan Coy here. Just how can you not love the people of Haiti? This is one of those buildings. Now, this is one of the better ones because it's standing upright in Jamaica that we were helping to repair. This young man in the middle here in the blue is the fellow who was a recipient of that house. Here's another team, and I forget the name of these gentlemen, but they were there the week before that we were there on the trip, and they decided to stay another week to see it through and see it completed so that we could all be there to give that building to that man. And that man there absolutely was thrilled with the work that Bo and the rest of the men helped to build that house. Here's one of the greatest joys you're ever going to see. A group of over 1,000 people worshiping the one true and only God, the same one that we worship here every Sunday. He's the same God in Haiti, Jamaica, Nicaragua, throughout the whole world and the whole universe. It's the same one that we worship here today. All right, now, if you would ask everybody that's ever gone on a mission trip, they would have different reasons for going. And they would also have one common answer. And that answer is that they were called. Each and every one of us is called. You may not hear it right now, or you may not be listening for it, but each and every one of us is being called. And if you hear that calling, it's time to act on it. Obey it and go, just once. Your life will be richer and complete for going on that trip just the one time. All right, now, I told you that there's a bunch of pictures. Well, they're not really pictures. They're kind of like images of everybody who's ever gone on a mission trip. And the neat thing about it is, in this, you can also see those who haven't gone on a mission trip yet. So we might as well just go ahead and open it up right now so everybody can see. See, and then if you can't see in the back, just come up after service and make sure that you can see and see if you're not in there. Yeah, that's right. Each and every one of us is called to the mission field. Okay, now I told you I had some questions that I knew you had some. I knew you had some questions, and the second one would be, is it safe? In one word, yes, it is. In the 5 mission trips that we've gone to, oh, it's shining right on you, huh? Okay. That bothering you? Okay. The second question, is it safe? In one word, yes, it is. We have never experienced any time that we felt physical harm or threatened in any foreign country that we've been to or anywhere in the States. As a matter of fact, it's as safe as going to high school in Columbine, Colorado. It's also as safe as, say, turning into your own driveway here on 128. It's as safe as riding your motorcycle a couple hours before your wedding day. Now, you know, in all 3 of these incidences, there was a tragedy, there was death involved with all of them. And the sad fact is that each and every one of us is going to die. Are you ready to die? I don't mean do you want to die. I mean, are you ready to die? Have you made it right with the Lord? If not, I strongly suggest that you get it right today before you leave these doors. I've got one more picture that I want to share with you. Okay, the fat white guy with the sunglasses, that he should have them on, protecting his eyes, that's me. The other gentleman is the guy I want to draw your attention to. This is a young man from Jamaica. His name is Chris. It's probably a better picture of him, but I couldn't find it. Chris was a young man that we got to know quite well the week that we were down there. Chris was kind of like a day labor guy. He was a local that was involved with the church. And with extra money that we had, we paid him to help and work hands-on with us. Now, Chris also had another job, and it was a little questionable, to say the least. See, in Jamaica, you do whatever you have to do just to survive. And what he was doing was probably not legal or very safe or whatever. It was a sad situation. But we got to meet this young man, and we got to work on him. Kenny Boatwright and a few of us were working on him. Brother, you need to come up, and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And it was going good. And I thought, you know what? Maybe this is a reason why we are here in Jamaica, that we were going to be used by the Holy Spirit to reach this one man. Things were going so well. Well, it didn't quite happen out just as we had thought, and the great Savior Americans came down and saved another one. But in God's time, it would be okay. Chris promised us that he was going to continue to talk to the pastor and that he was going to make a decision, and it was going to be soon. So when we got ready to leave, we talked to the pastor and we said, look, Chris is this close. He's this close. When he makes that decision for Christ, would you please let us know? We want to share in that joy. It wasn't a week later. We got home and we'd heard from the pastor. The problem is, it wasn't good news. Because of the activities that Chris was involved in, he was run down on his bicycle, shot and killed in the streets of Jamaica before he ever had a chance to make Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. Where Chris is now, I don't know. But I know there's some of you here that are struggling with the idea, and you need to make it right. So in closing, I'd encourage you not to leave these doors until you either make that decision or you get the answers that you need so that you can make that decision. I thank you for your attendance. I thank you for your opportunity to let the Lord speak through me. And with that, I'll turn it over to Joby.
Will you stand with me? And let's have a moment of prayer. God and Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for using this vessel of yours, Terry, today to bring a message that humorous at times, but very poignant, Lord. None of us are getting out of this world without dying. And Lord, I pray that everyone in here, when that time comes, that they know you as their Lord and Savior. We come to a point of decision, Lord. We each individually, not based on anybody around us, can make a decision. We have to make it ourselves. So today, Lord, we're going to invite these folks here to make a decision for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Terry's led you to the point. He's told you the truth. He's sent the gospel message to you that you need our Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You have the opportunity to come forward this morning and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you're looking for a church home, we welcome you. We have men here, elders, staff that would love to share more with you if you have questions.